The opinions expressed in the following program are provided for general information purposes only and should not be construed as advice from CJ8800 or Bell Media. Listeners should always consult their own qualified healthcare provider with medical questions or concerns. The following is sponsored content.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. It is 7:06 and a balmy 24 degrees right now in downtown Montreal, which we will take. I'm your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk. And again, yes, he is here until 8 o'clock, and we are very happy to take your questions. We always get a lot of questions, which we appreciate. So you can either hit us up on the phone, 514-790-0800, or by text, 514-800. And of course, we appreciate your first name in the text. And Ronnie, how are you? I'm so happy to see you.
Great, Cal. How are you?
I am awesome. I cannot tell you how happy I am to see warmer weather and sun this week. So, which I know we plummet into cloud tomorrow for the next couple of days, but we will take tonight. That's for sure. And I know a little bit later on in the show, we are going to talk about skincare and sunscreen and all that sort of stuff, especially now that the warmer weather seems to have arrived. Tonight on the show, though, it is all about men in a way because, of course, Father's Day is on the weekend. And so we want to highlight our boys that are out there and pay a little homage to them. So I know tonight we're going to talk about such things as, again, the sunscreen we're talking about, injections, Cool Sculpting, and all that sort of good stuff. But I know that you wanted, Ronnie, to start with hair.
That's it.
Because is that the most popular treatment for the dads out there?
I would say these days it's crazy how popular hair treatments are. I mean, even before, when I first started practicing derm, I got a lot of people consulting about hair thinning. I would say actually more women than men, if you could believe it.
Okay.
Because I think women, as soon as they
start... Well, there's a stigma, right?
Yeah, and as soon as they start to notice any thinning or any hair shedding, they freak out. Mm-hmm. Whereas men, you know, it's kind of like, it's my dad's bald, my Zadie, and my grandfather's bald, I'll be bald too. So they're less likely to seek treatment for men versus women are much more likely the second they notice any change in their hair.
Okay.
But so when I started practicing, I got a lot of patients right off the bat for hair problems. But I think maybe it's the media, maybe it's all the new available options out there for hair lately. The hair market's really taken off over the past couple of years. And I notice it in my own practice. I do a lot more treatments than I used to do for hair. And I think it's exciting because there's options today that we can offer and deliver for our patients that are less invasive, more natural, less side effects, and have really, really good outcomes. So I have to say, before I started doing any of these natural treatments, I was a little bit hesitant and reluctant. I didn't know if it worked. They were pretty new on the market. There wasn't a lot of evidence for them. And so I didn't do them. I didn't adopt them into my practice early on. And then over time, I've really become a believer that they work because, I mean, I see the results and I see every day new patients, that I'm treating, whether it's with platelet-rich plasma, PRP, which I'll talk about in a sec, or whether it's using different laser devices to stimulate hair. But I see the results, and it does work, and you don't need to take hormonal or anti-hormonal pills to get a result. And so I'm very excited and optimistic about the type of results we can offer in a natural manner.
Can we use Prince William as an example for just a second? Because I know he's in his like early 30s at the moment, heading towards mid 30s. He went bald fairly young.
Yeah.
Could he have fixed that? Like, could he have avoided where he's at right now?
I think so. I mean, what's important with hair? So when you have a strong familial component, whether it's your dad, your mom who has thin hair, uncles or aunts, if it's in your family, then the odds are that you inherited some sort of that gene, and so you will at some point in your life thin, whether it's going completely bald or just thinning. That's kind of variable that we can't really predict.
Okay.
But if you know it's in your family or you notice very early signs of thinning or loss, the sooner you act on it, the better you're going to do.
Okay. Because I'm kind of surprised that he specifically let it get to the, because he has the resources. You know what I mean? Like, he has the resources to not be where he's at. Yeah. And I just feel like, because there's still some action going on up there.
It's obviously not a financial thing.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just don't care.
Okay.
You know, so if you don't care and it's not your priority, then you're not going to act on it. But if you do care, then there are great treatments you can do to really either really slow down the hair loss process or even stop it in its tracks and prevent it from thinning completely.
Okay.
So, you know, the number one treatment that I do now in my office for hair thinning is PRP, which stands for platelet-rich plasma. And for those that aren't familiar with the treatment, it's a very, very simple procedure where we take your own blood, we process it in a centrifuge, which is basically a machine that spins down the blood. So it separates out the red part of your blood from the clear part. That clear part is called plasma. And then from the plasma, we generate a very concentrated form of platelet-rich plasma. And in there, there's basically great stuff for your hair. There's growth factors, there's vitamins, nutrients. And so I basically take that PRP, it's very concentrated, and I inject it directly into areas of the scalp that are thinning. And so it's kind of like watering the grass. You're delivering signals and growth factors into those hair follicles, right into the root where the stem cells are. And you're saying, don't die, keep growing hair. And that's essentially what it does. It continues to stimulate the follicles, continues to grow hair. So even if you're starting to thin or bald and you do some PRP, you will actually get some regrowth of hair in your scalp.
Are there ideal candidates for you, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're too advanced, if you're totally bald on the top, not worth it to do it because it's not going to bring back hair. So hair follicles that are really old, that have collapsed, forget about it. You're not going to stimulate them. But if you're early in the process or if there's still viable hair follicles there, you can definitely get regrowth.
Okay. Can you answer this question for me? And I realize you're not treating him at the moment, but Elton John, he obviously went bald, you know, years and years ago, and then he did something. Was it hair plugs? Like, what do you know what you think he did?
Yeah. I mean, he probably had a hair transplant.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So PRP, and I set this up. I set the expectation at the initial consultation with my patients. PRP is not a transplant.
Okay.
You're not all of a sudden going to have a full head of hair. That's not what PRP does.
Okay.
What I tell my patients is with PRP, most people, 90%+ of people, we will stabilize you. So we will prevent further thinning. We will slow down that process tremendously. For about 50-60% of people, you'll get some regrowth, which means your hair will feel thicker, denser, fuller. It will look fuller, more substantial, more soft, more hydrated. It's not going to give you a full head of hair. You're not going to go from being bald to having a full head of hair. Impossible. Not going to happen. Okay. So I think that's important. If your goal is really you want 100% guarantee full head of hair, you're going to go for a transplant because that's the only way it's going to happen.
And who does that?
So it's dermatologists.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or dermatologic surgeons. There's some general practitioners that do it well. You know, as long as you have the proper training to deliver the results, then you can do it.
Okay. And go ahead.
I was going to say, even if people get a transplant, though, I always recommend that they do some sort of maintenance treatment post-transplant, which entails PRP.
Okay.
Because otherwise what happens is the transplanted hairs are stable, but you continue to thin and you will require a second and a third and a fourth transplant. So even if you do a transplant, still consider the other non-surgical options to maintain your scalp.
Just a quick question before we head to traffic. If, let's say a person decides to get the first PRP treatment in, let's say January of 2019, how often do they have to like keep up the maintenance?
So here's my protocol. I usually will have patients do one treatment per month for the first 4 months.
Okay.
After that 4 month period, patients can expect to see results anywhere from 3 to 6 months after that. Mm-hmm. And then I will recommend maintaining the treatments about 2 or 3 per year.
Okay.
Because you continue to thin throughout your life. So if you're not going to maintain it, the thinning will progress and continue. In my experience, since I've been doing PRP, which is about 3.5 to 4 years now, the people that I've been following for the past 4 years, they are good. Okay. After 4 years, when we look back at their photos, they're actually, most of them are much better now compared to 4 years prior. So doing it two or three times a year is definitely enough to maintain it. But initially, you want to really give it a boost. So I recommend to do four in a row.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk. Don't forget that he is here until 8 o'clock on CJAD, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. And of course, we love your first name in the text. And then if you would like to reach out to Dr. Monk and his staff during the week, 514-937-2757 is the office line. The website is monkmd.com. That is MUNKMD.com, and you can follow along on social media at MonkMD. At MonkMD, and we are Facebooking live tonight. I know Ronnie. A little bit later, we're going to talk about sunscreen. I did just want to get to this text though right away, just because I think it's fantastic. Because Emma has asked this question that I've been wanting to ask you for weeks, which is facial sunscreen. Do we apply it over facial moisturizer, or do you skip the moisture altogether when you're putting on sunscreen? Because this is a burning question. So Emma, you rock. Thanks for texting in.
Well, it depends on, number one, it depends on your skin type.
Yeah.
So if you have very dry skin, you need a moisturizer.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with putting a moisturizer combined with a sunscreen.
Okay.
That being said, some sunscreen agents are very moisturizing in themselves.
So number one,
it depends on your skin type if you need a moisturizer. Number two, it depends on the sunscreen you're using, whether or not you need to add a moisturizer to it. So for example, one of the sunscreens we recommend in my office is a combination sunscreen hyaluronic acid agent. It's very moisturizing. So with that sunscreen, I wouldn't recommend an additional moisturizer because you're getting the moisture in it.
Okay.
Let's go over sunscreen quickly.
Oh, you're okay.
I know we're going to talk about it.
I've messed up
later.
Your order of things.
It's okay, but you asked me about it earlier. I said we'll talk about it. So this time of year, we really got to think about sun protection.
Mm-hmm.
I say this time of year, but really it should be a year-round thing. Okay, because for those people that don't know, ultraviolet radiation is present all the time. There's two types of UV rays. There's UVB rays and UVA rays, and they're both different, but they're both bad. So UVB rays will cause sunburn and will cause cancer. And those are rays that are filtered by clouds and filtered by window glass, which means on a cloudy day, you're not getting a sunburn. If you're indoors, you're not getting a sunburn because the UVB is not reaching your skin. UVA is different, however. So UVA is the same whether you're indoors at a window because it comes through the window. On a cloudy day, UVA is the same as on a sunny day. It's constant year-round, and UVA makes your skin old. It causes wrinkling. It causes brown spots. It causes cancer. But it doesn't cause sunburn, which means on a cloudy day, you're getting UVA rays, but you have no idea because there's no sunburn. You think you're not getting any sun on your skin, but you're taking a lot of UV, which is affecting your skin aging, and it's affecting how your skin, the discoloration, the brown spots, and it's contributing to cancer. So that is why, as a dermatologist, I recommend always year-round sunscreens that will protect broad spectrum, both UVA and UVB rays.
I love that you just explained that again, because I feel like there can never be enough knowledge when it comes to that, because I think so many of us think like tomorrow, you know, I'm just looking at the weather now and it says like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, apparently if the weather holds, it's all cloud and maybe some rain going on.
Yeah.
So I think some of us would be like, I don't need
Nobody
it.
Nobody wears sunscreen on a cloudy day
mm-hmm.
unless you really understand the what's happening with the ultraviolet rays.
Okay.
Put it this way. I tell my patients I'm a skincare fanatic. I've been doing, you know, great skincare since I started studying dermatology, and it's really transformed my skin personally. So mm-hmm. I know it works, and I wear sunscreen every single day, no exceptions, even if I'm indoors, because even indoor lighting will age your skin. Visible light and infrared light will affect aging of the skin. So if I'm wearing a mineral sunscreen with zinc or titanium and it's blocking some of the visible light out, it's better for how my skin's going to age. So I wear sunscreen every single day, regardless whether I'm in or outdoors.
A text has come in to 514-800 asking if people who have darker colored skin, do you also still need as much sunscreen?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Because you'd be amazed how much sun damage darker skin types get to. So as a white person, am I more at risk of skin cancer than a black person? Yes, I am, because I don't have as much melanin, I don't have as much natural protection. But it doesn't mean that dark skin types don't get sun damage, don't get skin cancer. They absolutely do. So yes, they need sun protection just as much. Yes, if you tan and you don't sunburn, you still need sun protection because you are all at risk of sun damage and skin cancer.
Can you answer this question for me? So the other day I was out for a run and I was heading along my neighborhood and there was this man on his lawnmower tractor with no shirt on in sun. And I'm assuming it was going to be over an hour of him being out there.
Yeah.
Even if he puts sunscreen on, is that a bad idea?
Okay, it drives me nuts because people think they wear sunscreen and then they come to my office, they're burned to a crisp.
Yeah.
And I say to them, what is wrong with you? And they say to me, well, I wore sunscreen. And I say to them, I don't care. It didn't work. Because people think that when you put sunscreen on, you can go and you can bake.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's no perfect sunscreen. No matter what you do, the sun's going to get through. No matter what. No matter what agent you're using. So you have to take other protective measures, which means hat, sunglasses, try to avoid the sun when it's hottest from 10 to 2. Reapply your sunscreen every 2 to 3 hours because it only lasts about 2 hours. Do your best to wear protective clothing unless you're swimming or it's not an option for you, then go. But if you don't have to expose your skin, don't. Because what happens is, even if you're wearing sunscreen, if you get any color in your skin, it's a marker that the sun penetrated your skin and damaged your skin cells and your DNA. I don't care what protection you're using. If you're getting color, the sun's getting through, it's totally irrelevant to me what protection you used. It doesn't matter. Didn't work. And you damaged your skin and you're at risk of cancer.
Thank you for saying that.
When I see people baking in the sun and they say I wear protection, it's so unimportant to wear protection like that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work. So it's a silly thought.
What are your thoughts on people who are like, I'm going to Florida, so I'm going to go tan a bit before to get a base layer and then I'm going to Florida?
What do you think I'm going to say to that?
I want to see you go wild.
I think it's horrible.
Okay.
Because any tan you're going to get pre-Florida is damaging your skin. Okay. So when you go to tanning beds are actually even worse than sunlight.
Really? Because it's too intense?
They're very UVA focused.
Okay.
There's much more UVA rays than UVB rays. And studies show that that balance where you have a higher UVA content versus UVB is much more damaging and detrimental to the skin compared to natural ultraviolet radiation. That being said, in natural sunlight, there's more UVA than UVB rays too. But in tanning beds, it's much more tipped towards the UVA side. So it's even more skewed in tanning beds, which is why tanning beds are so risky for skin cancer, which is why tanning beds are now prohibited in anybody under the age of 18, because the rates of melanoma are increasing.
Wow.
And for those people that don't know, melanoma is one of those cancers that are very dangerous and very much has the potential to spread and kill. So it's not a joke when you're talking about sunburns and skin cancer. Among young people, I can't remember the exact statistic, but melanoma is in the top 3 killers of young people for cancer.
Wow.
People less than 30 years old. So it's not a joke, and melanoma's on the rise.
Can we talk a little bit, before we go to break, Ronnie, about babies and sun? Because, you know, I know parents try to do their best with making sure their babies are you know, covered and all that stuff when they're out there, but what do you want them to know? What do they need to know when they take their baby to the park or what have you?
So you got to protect your kids. You got to start early, okay? Protect your kids from when they're little babies. I started from 3 months, I started putting sunscreen on my kids regularly. I know that Health Canada recommends 6 months and up, but I feel very comfortable starting 3 months. I use mineral sunscreens in my kids, which means zinc oxide, titanium dioxide. I try to avoid any chemical sunscreens. Even for myself, I avoid the chemical sunscreens. I don't know if you're aware, but recently the FDA and Health Canada issued warnings against some of the chemical filters in sunscreens, like oxybenzone, avobenzone. These are very common filters that are in most chemical sunscreen products.
Okay.
We think that they have the potential to disrupt hormones. I don't think it's great to put these chemicals on your skin on a daily basis, which is why mineral sunscreens with zinc, titanium, minerals are inert. They don't absorb into the skin. They're safe. And the new nanoparticles are not white. They're clear. I wear them every day. I'm not white. I'm not shiny. So find the right sunscreen agents and wear them regularly and stick to mineral sunscreens because they're the safest.
Does mineral... oh my God, I'm over time, but I want... Chris, quickly. Can you put minerals on when you're going swimming, like, and then you have to reapply?
Yes,
I guess?
Okay. You should put them on prior to swimming, and yes, you need to reapply them because no sunscreen, including the minerals, last a long time, especially when you're swimming. So reapply at least every 2 to 3 hours.
Perfect. You are listening to Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk on CJAD.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. It's 7:37, still 24 amazing degrees in downtown Montreal. I'm your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk. Don't forget, if you would like to reach out to Ronnie and his staff at the clinic, the office number is 514-937-2757, 937-2757. The website is monkmd.com, M-U-N-K-M-D.com. You can follow along on social media at monkmd, and Ronnie is actually Facebooking live tonight if you would like to see what it's like behind the scenes here at CJD. And he is here, of course, until 8 o'clock, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. I know you wanted to get into some new things. Well, I've heard this and we just haven't had a chance to talk about it, so I think it's great if we bring it up now. New stuff for hair at the clinic. What's going on?
So we talked about PRP.
Yeah.
That's the thing I do the most. So one of the new things we brought in, actually, how long has it been? Maybe about 5-6 months, is a helmet device. So okay. It's called the Theradome. I may have talked about it the last time I was on.
I think you briefly mentioned it, yeah.
Anyways, it's a helmet. So this is very popular now, these light devices that people wear at home. And basically it delivers light signals into the scalp, gets into the hair follicles, stimulates the hair. So it's an at-home treatment where you can get some regrowth, some stimulation, kind of similar to PRP, but maybe not as strong, but definitely a great adjunct to PRP.
Okay.
So we recently brought in this device called the Theradome, which is something you purchase. You do it at home. It's meant to be done twice a week for 20 minutes. So it's really not a big time commitment. And it's a very cool little device. It speaks to you. It tells you how long you have left in your treatment. And
wow.
So it's very high tech. But what separates it from other light devices is it's not a light. It's actually lasers. So with lasers, it's more focused energy. It's a bit more intense, which means that it's stronger. It delivers, you know, a bit more heat into the scalp, and that's more stimulating for better results. So I really did my research on it, and I looked at different studies comparing different devices on the market, and this is the one that I found to have the most evidence and be the most beneficial. So yeah, we've been offering it for my patients, and now a lot of my patients actually doing platelet-rich plasma are using this Theradome device for maintenance at home. And I'm seeing even better results than I would see initially by when we first started the PRP treatment. I think it works together. It's additive. So now we have even more natural options, no side effects. People ask me, does the Theradome get hot? Do I feel any tingling or anything in my scalp? The answer is no. You really feel zero. And you can do it while you watch TV. I mean, it's a very simple, quick thing to do. And I think it really works. So there's great options out there. So if men, women, if you notice any thinning, it's early for you, I'm happy to help you guys. Call the clinic. You can talk to any of my staff about any of these treatments. And we're very excited about all them because they work.
We're going to get into Cool Sculpting in just a sec, but a couple of texts have come in to 514-800. I like this one because I think this has been on people's minds for decades. If I drink a lot of cola, will I get pimples?
It's a very interesting question. You know why? Because maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a study showing, and up until this point, we always said foods don't affect acne, foods don't affect acne. But more recently, a study showed that very sugary foods can definitely contribute to acne. So it's not the cause. Yeah. It's not why you have pimples, but it does spike your insulin levels, which is a hormone that can definitely contribute to worsening acne.
Okay.
So I think, yes, if you eat a lot of sugary foods, I mean, there's a ton of sugar in regular Coca-Cola, you could definitely get spikes of your insulin and it will make your acne worse.
We were talking earlier about, you know, sun damage and sunscreen and all that sort of stuff. And an interesting text has come in basically saying, you know, we're told to have some vitamin D, but then obviously not to be too much in the sun. So what's the correct balance?
So this was a very controversial issue a few years ago. And there was always an argument between the endocrinologists, who are the hormone specialists, saying we need vitamin D, we need sun exposure, and the dermatologists, I mean, we know the negative impact sun has on the skin and health, and so we say avoid sun at all costs. So here's my answer. Whether you take vitamin D in your diet or you take it from the sun, it's the same vitamin D. Many studies show that it's equivalent. So if you don't need to take it with sun exposure, which has harmful effects for your skin health, then why do it? Just take a supplement and you will have your vitamin D dose that's adequate for you. You won't be vitamin D deficient and you'll be fine. And there's vitamin D in foods now. So cereals are fortified with vitamin D. Milk is fortified with vitamin D. That being said, I have to say that I see a ton of vitamin D deficiency in my practice.
Really? Okay.
And I do test it regularly because anybody that comes to see me with significant hair thinning, I do a panel of blood tests, including vitamin D. And I can't tell you how many people are vitamin D deficient. It's so surprising, but I guess I got used to it now because most people are vitamin D deficient in this province. And vitamin D is a very important vitamin for overall health and immunity and hair also. Hair gets very fortified and stronger with vitamin D. If you're deficient, you're going to thin your hair very quickly.
Do people have thinning hair have also thin fingernails? Like, is that like a correlation?
Yeah. So they're both formed with keratin, which is kind of the dead layer of skin that forms hair and nails. So they are sort of related. So if you have brittle hair, odds are you might have brittle nails. So what I was going to say is anybody who's really avoiding the sun, like I do, and like I recommend for all my patients, we need to take vitamin D supplementation. It's really important because otherwise you're probably deficient in vitamin D because we don't get enough of it in our diet, unfortunately.
514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We actually have Dave on the line. Dave, you have a question about sensitive skin?
Yes. I have very sensitive skin that only started a few years ago. I'm 52 years old now, but I've had this problem for a couple of years. I've used all kinds of creams, and it's very flaky, and I've got problem with dandruff, and it just seems to be getting worse as I get older. Is this a common problem?
So it is a common problem, and a lot of people present with very sensitive skin, especially as we get older. What happens to many people is the skin, you know, we lose our cholesterol in our skin over time, so our skin is more prone to dehydration and dryness, and that, you know, if you have a disrupted barrier in the skin, number one, you're more prone to flaking and eczema and irritation. But number two, if the barrier is impaired, you lose a lot of water from your barrier, so you get even more dehydrated. So it's like a vicious cycle where you have dry skin, and then because your barrier is not repairing itself, you lose more water, it gets more dry, and that leads to problems like eczema. So what's really important as we age, and if you have sensitive skin, is really to try to restore the normal barrier and try to repair the barrier, which means you need to moisturize your skin many times a day, 2 or 3 times a day. Now, what's challenging is finding the right moisturizer that's not going to irritate already sensitive skin. But there are some very good ones that, you know, we as dermatologists recommend to our patients. And I often have my slew of moisturizers that I'll get my patients using. And it's very important to continue using them for a good amount of time before you notice a repair in your barrier and an improvement in your skin.
Dave, if you'd like to reach out to Dr. Monk again, you can do that 514-937-2757.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
The time is flying tonight here on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk. I'm your host, Kelly Alexander. We were just noticing as we headed to break, we're like, wow, like the show's flying. So thank you so much for all of your texts and calls, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Again, if you'd like to reach out to Ronnie at his office, 514-937-2757. The website is monkmd.com. So I don't want to not come through on a promise. We were going to talk about cool sculpting. So let's do that. So that's been around for you, how long? 4 or 5 years now already?
I think 5 years.
Crazy.
Once I started practicing in my office, I bought it very early because during my fellowship, which I did in Ottawa, so mm-hmm. I did a cosmetic dermatology fellowship for 1 year after graduating, and I the clinic I was working at bought Cool Sculpting. So I was very familiar with it already, mm-hmm. and I had seen the results, and I was super impressed with it. So I knew as soon as I opened my own practice, I was going to buy one.
Okay, cool.
And actually, it's been very good for my practice. I think it's the best body sculpting technology out there. And it's what I love about it is the safety, number one. I mean, it's very safe. Anybody can really do it, but not everybody's a candidate, which is why I think it's really important to do a proper consultation, evaluate the type of fat you have, and see if you're the right candidate. And I know, I mean, I get this question all the time from patients, you know, my friend did it. She didn't see great results. And I tell them, I say, if you're not a great candidate, you're not going to see great results. And that's where it takes an expertise to be able to guide you and tell you, you're a good candidate, you're going to get a great result. If you are a good candidate, I think you will get phenomenal results. And what's nice is there's no downtime. It doesn't take long to do it. It's a few treatments. One thing I do differently now compared to previously was I do more treatment sessions.
Okay.
Initially, you know, I told my patients, we'll do one, we'll reassess. And I learned over time that if you're more aggressive, meaning you do 2 or 3 treatments on the same area, you're going to get a much more drastic result. And I really believe that you can get a surgical type of change, you know, and a surgical reduction without surgery if you're willing to do multiple treatment sessions on a given area. I really believe that.
And I know that you always want to make sure that people understand that this is not a weight loss solution.
It isn't. It's a sculpting solution. So you'll feel better in your pants. Mm-hmm. You'll feel your body will look better. You'll feel tighter. You may lose a couple pounds, but you're not going to lose a tremendous amount of weight because the amount of fat that's actually being killed by Cool Sculpting to deliver a result is very minimal compared to the rest of the fat in your body.
Okay.
So if you want to treat your love handles and really reduce them, you're going to lose, I don't know, 30, 40% of your fat if you do 2 or 3 sessions, but it's not going to translate into weight lost on the scale.
Okay.
But it will translate to a couple pant sizes lost.
But you can't go have like 6 milkshakes and
think. No. And you know what? If you're going to behave and you're going to diet and you're going to work out in conjunction, you will see incredible results. Oh, and can I tell you something new? They're coming out, actually, Cool Sculpting is launching a brand new device, supposed to launch at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's very secretive, but I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's going to be for muscle toning.
Oh, wow.
Not sculpting, toning. So if you have muscles that you want to bring out and you don't want to go and spend hours and hours in the gym, then there's going to be another solution by Cool Sculpting in the very near future. And you can bet that I'm going to have it first.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I know like you've had me at the clinic and you let me watch some of this going on. And we've talked before about how your patients are just so chill.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their devices.
Well,
that's
what I love
about
it. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable. There's no pain. There's no downtime. It takes 35 minutes to do an area. And it's very safe. I mean, you can't compare it to liposuction or surgery where you're out of commission for, you know, a few days or a few weeks. You can't compare. This is an in-and-out procedure. Go to the gym the next day. I played hockey the same night I did Cool Sculpting on my abdomen. I mean, it's an easy, simple procedure to do. But you got to make sure you're a good candidate because you want to make sure you get a good result.
514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. I know that, you know, we're celebrating men tonight on the show with Father's Day coming up. I think a lot of men wouldn't really think about injections, but you do that as well.
We do a lot of injections on men. So I actually, one of my patients asked me today what percent of men I'm injecting. I would say, you know, when I first started practicing, it was 5 to 10%, not even. It was probably even less than that. And I'm probably at 20, 25% of my practice are now men. So I think it's important to address, you know, aging in both men and women. And we also care about how we're aging, and we want to look our best as we're aging. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of men are into it now. But I have to say, I do all sorts of different injections in men. It's not just facial injections. I do a lot of sweating. So we do Botox for sweating in my office, whether it's the armpits, the palms, the soles. And it's really amazing. I mean, if you're a sweater.
Because it's like a condition for some people, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
No, okay. And it's a lot of people. I mean, how many people ruin their clothing because they sweat from their armpits?
Right.
A ton. I know I did before. But anyways, Botox into the area of sweating will diminish the nerve supply, the signals from the nerves to the sweat glands. So you will not sweat. And what's nice about Botox is it will last 6 to 12 months. So it's not something you have to do often. A lot of my patients will see us once a year for their Botox. And it's a fantastic way to cut your sweating completely.
Okay.
It's really, really nice. And the other benefit is if you have a private insurance, at least the procedure is mainly covered by insurance policies. So it's a great thing to do, and it will really make a difference in your quality of life if you sweat a lot.
Are you, in that instance, again, for the sweating situations, are there, again, ideal candidates, or can you do it pretty much on anyone?
Well, you got to make sure there's no medical cause for sweating. So sometimes if I suspect a medical cause, I'll do a blood workup, you know, make sure the thyroid gland is working normal, make sure they're not diabetic, because the most important thing in somebody who sweats is to make sure we detect any medical reason why they may be sweating.
Yeah.
So I think a consult, again, is very important. Every treatment has to start with a consult to make sure you're a good candidate for the procedure. It's going to work well for you. We meet your goals. We want to understand why you're coming into the office to see me and my staff. So we always do a good consultation. But for most people, Botox into the area will be effective. The question is how much Botox will it take? And that's variable depending on the number of sweat glands that are present, the size of the person. So it does vary from men to women as well. But there is a kind of average standard dosing we do for Botox, for sweating.
I can't believe I have to say this, but we're out of time. This is crazy.
We didn't even talk about anything.
I know. Thank God you're coming back.
Laser.
I know. Thank God you're coming back next month. I know you like to say goodnight to some special ladies.
I'm sure they're not listening to me at all. They're so excited when I come on air. You know why? Because they get to watch 2 episodes of TV. They're like so happy I'm not home. Anyways, if they're listening, my girls, Gabby, Jamie, Avery, my 3 daughters, I love them. My wife, Gail, I love her, and I'll be home soon.
Perfect. And if you'd like to reach out again to Dr. Monk at his office, very simple, 514-937-2757. The website is monkmd.com, M-U-N-K-M-D.com. My thanks to Brian Kelisar for pushing all the right buttons. My name is Kelly Alexander. Coming up after the news, it's The Nightside with John Pohl on CJAD.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program were provided for general information purposes only and should not be construed as advice from CJ 8800 or Bell Media. Listeners should always consult their own qualified healthcare provider with medical questions or concerns. The preceding was sponsored content.